What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast that can't help but respect Steve Evans. Coming up, Blades ain't buying what Ruben Selles. Bonnie Bobby Poynton's Bantams banter, plus reviews, previews, managerial news, and who's hardest views. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Welcome back, listener, or welcome along if you're finding us for the first time. This is your weekly catch-up on all things Football League. If you like the show, maybe tell a friend about it. Leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, it all helps us as we try and grow the show. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I'm joined by my two EFL experts. Adrian Clark's with me. How are you doing, Adrian?
Hello. Yeah, really good. Really good. Good intro. I mean, you got the right teeth in today, haven't you? That was you gave yourself a tricky test, but you passed the examination. It bodes well for the next few minutes, doesn't it?
Let's hope so. Yeah, a bit of a tongue twister. Sam Parkin's back on board too, fresh from the valley. Looks a bit tasty down there on Saturday, Sam. You managed to get out unscathed.
I was a bit concerned about my car. I did deliberate over my mode of transport. I thought I'd probably be safer in the motor and getting there early. So it was fine. Yeah, I hope we picked out the best of the weekend, because I was a bit disappointed by some of the derbies. I've got to be frank. I didn't think it was a great game at the Valley. Brilliant atmosphere. Didn't think South Coast Derby was particularly thrilling. So hopefully we've come through the chaff and we're going to bring you some quality.
Yep. Well, we'll hear more about that so-so game between Charlton and Millwall later. First, though, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. Okay, we're going to kick off today with a bit of news. Sheffield United have sacked head coach Ruben Selles after the club lost all six of their opening games of the season. The 5-0 hammering at Ipswich, the final straw for the Blades board. You might well know, listener, that Chris Wilder has been appointed by the time I hit publish on this podcast. That's the way it usually works. Nothing official yet, though. This is the last post from the Sheffield United X account. It's not Tweet of the Week, Clarky. It's a weirdly worded one. After a disappointing start to the EFL Championship campaign, Ruben Selles has been relieved of his duties as manager. The board of directors wish to thank Mr. Selles for his hard work. Smacks of ChatGPT to me, that.
I think most things are done on ChatGPT now, aren't they?
Why call him Mr. Selles?
Yeah.
Why thank him for his
bizarre
work when you've lost every game? Not for me.
It's bizarre. Yeah. It's a rubbish announcement tweet. Let's be honest. But Ruben Selles can have no complaints, can he? And look, he's got himself to blame, because he had to see what was happening with that team in the first few games, where the balance of the side was all wrong. And what's happened is he's recognised it over the international break, changed it, and picked a much more balanced team for the game against Ipswich. And then they've just run into a side that's absolutely on fire, and his team seem to have no confidence because they keep losing. Because up until when it was 0-0, they were perfectly fine. So yeah, he should have seen it earlier, what was one of the reasons. But ultimately, the players didn't respond to his messages. They certainly didn't seem like they wanted to keep the ball out of the back of the net badly enough, did they? I mean, that was a proper crumble at Portman Road. And yeah, it was the kind of performance that gets managers sacked, especially when they're in charge of a club that's expected to be promoted, not relegated, which is kind of, you know, where they're at the minute. They will get it right, but yeah, obviously Selles was the wrong fit.
Chris Wilder looks like he's coming back in then, Sam. I mean, fair enough, he nearly got the promoted last season, got to the playoff final, but it's really unimaginative, isn't it, to just keep going back to the same bloke? Or are you of the let's get the steady Eddie, tried and trusted, done it before kind of viewpoint?
Honestly, don't know. I suppose I think it's a good thing if the owners could admit their mistake this early. You wouldn't blame him for telling them where to go, would you, in truth? I'm very much not in the camp of that was a ridiculous decision to get rid of Chris Wilder, because I've gone on record with you guys saying I just thought, as a quick fix last year for a year to get them back into the Premier League, it was a really good idea with Chris Wilder. Having it not worked, and I think not being as good as the top two as it proved ultimately, not playing brilliantly fluid football, I wasn't overly surprised they made the change. Completely agree that catastrophically went wrong and has gone wrong, and he was the wrong man, Ruben Sellers. But yeah, I'm not sure Chris Wilder coming back, you know, is the best idea. But right now they've got big issues. I mean, that squad categorically will climb the division, irrelevant of who's in charge. As long as they go for someone who's not a complete rookie out of left field, they will climb the table. And, you know, I haven't got any concerns about them dropping out, kind of akin to maybe Luton. But yeah, it's interesting to see it unravel so quickly. If you're going to go for someone tried and tested, then yeah, I'll probably just give it back to Chris Wilder. He doesn't have to uproot. He lives around the corner, I presume. Knows all the lads. One task I would say would be getting Aimer, for one, who's still going to be their catalyst, really motivated to play in the Championship again this year and do the type of thing he was doing last year, catapult them up the league. He's central to that. Last week, I spoke about, I think, a lack of firepower, a little bit of lack of creation. I stand by that. I think defensively they'll be better in time, but need to reignite them going the other way. And yeah, I expect it to be Chris Wilder, but I don't blame the club for trying to change.
Charlton on Saturday at Bramall Lane would be his first game in charge. Then he'd go to his old club, Oxford.
It's trustworthy. I mean, there's probably no one you trust more to get them straight, is there? It's just, is it right long term? But I think, yeah, it stinks of Peterborough, doesn't it? With Darren Ferguson. Get rid, bring him back. Get rid, bring him back. But
or Martin Allen. Could be Martin Allen too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. But nah, look, he'll knock them into shape, I'm sure. They've got to get the culture right. There's clearly something not right with the dressing room, because that thing collapsed. There was no togetherness there, was there? So they need a strong guy to pull them all together as a group.
What about our mate in goal? I mean, I've never seen that from Cooper. I mean, that was incredible. And yeah, the ease at which Ipswich were strolling through them, that was a side who'd, you know, for half an hour at least, weren't fighting for the current manager.
Sacked it off, didn't they?
Down to their blades, you might say. All right, well, good luck to Chris Wilder if he is the man to come in. We're going to have a look at some of the stuff that happened this weekend next. In the Championship, Borough stayed top, but they needed a stoppage time equaliser to preserve their unbeaten run at Preston. Derby got their first league win of the season at West Brom. Gerhard Struber continues to win hearts and minds in Bristol as City battered Sheffield Wednesday. John Egan hit a 97th minute equaliser for Hull at Swansea. And Sam's very happy because QPR won 3-1 for the second game in a row, this time at Wrexham, who hover just above the drop zone. Let's talk a bit more about your trip to the Valley on Saturday lunchtime. Then Sam Millwall extending their unbeaten record against near neighbours Charlton to 29 years. Was the red card for Kane Ramsey 15 minutes from the end the turning point here? Millwall probably worth a point even before that?
No, I thought Charlton were marginally the better side, and I thought that they were going to see it through. To be honest, Mill's front two, muscular front two of Coburn and Ivanovic is not really working at the moment. They're not providing the issues for opposition defences you maybe anticipated. Ivanovic in particular looks a little off colour, probably courtesy of all the speculation in the summer. So I think they played too much into Charlton's hands. And when you've got Nathan Jones at the helm, when you've got players like Kane Ramsey, unfortunately, who did cost them ultimately, but Lloyd Jones, Amari Bell, they dealt with everything Mill had to throw at them up to that point. So yeah, calamitous way for them to concede a couple of points. The first booking was a bit of a sandwich. I wasn't too sure if it was Coventry or Ramsey who actually failed the Millwall player, but having got the yellow card, you cannot dive in. And it was on the back of kind of a really good sliding challenge. He got to his feet and he steamed back into the second one, which happens quite a lot when the adrenaline's flowing. But that cost them. And
funny, Sam, sorry to interrupt. I haven't seen anything on Kane Ramsey's timeline. No highlight reel of the game or anything like that.
Could do the first hour. I bet that would get plenty of views if he could eradicate the last half an hour. Yeah, so it actually forced Millwall obviously into changes, and he took off Ivanovic, and I can't remember who he brought on, but he reconfigured the front line. He played with a 10 latterly, and it came from Millwall's best passing move of the game, where Joe Bryan slips a nice ball through to Cundall. It was the first time they played any good football really in the final third, and obviously Bangura Williams, who had that little purple patch last season, comes on, and I think it was his first goal in the EFL. So yeah, I'm not sure they were worthy of it, but you know, for 10, 15 minutes, they had Charlton on the ropes. The best player was Tyrese Campbell for Charlton, who's got that kind of hybrid role where he joins the centre-forward who was Kelman in the case of Saturday at centre-forward. And then he kind of drops back into left wing kind of position when they're out of possession. And he picked it up on that left-hand side when the ball turned over a lot and was really problematic for Kramer, the right side of centre-half, and Ryan Leonard. So they definitely identified that area of the pitch. And Campbell was great. He played a couple of times for Jamaica in the week, so they can be optimistic about him. Both teams need a bit more going forward. That was kind of the narrative going into the game, and certainly still the narrative at full time. They're better defensive sides right now than they are going towards the opposition's goal. So probably not quite a fair reflection on the game. I was more impressed with Charlton, but no qualms that both teams will be competitively in mid-table this season, I suggest.
Just a quick one, Sam. Sonny Carey, what was he like? Because I saw the highlights. He looked like heavily involved. Looked at the stats. He's had more shots than anyone else. He's had more touches inside the box for Charlton than anyone else. What was he like? Because obviously he came from Blackpool, didn't he, in the summer?
Really good. Yeah, I should have mentioned him there. He's obviously got a good relationship with Apta, who came from Blackpool as well. So he looks for him a lot. He's playing as a 10, makes a lot of runs into the box. So gets himself into great positions. And I said it in the commentary, that goal, doing all the reading and watching the highlights, feels like it's been coming. He hadn't assisted or scored to this point. Yeah, it feels like he had the full support of the punters and Nathan Jones himself. So that shows that he's been doing a lot right. Very fit, up and down, contributes both ends of the pitch. He's not maybe the most graceful or skillful on the ball, but really effective. So it looks to be an excellent signing.
Key question, Clarky. I have primed you both for this. Who's harder? Who'd win a fight out of Alex Neil and Nathan Jones? Really, really tough this. I'm still going back and forth in my mind.
I'm sure we've done this before. For me, and obviously I know Nathan really well. I used to know him really well. I don't think he's hard. I think Nathan...
He's dirty, though, isn't he? He's scratching your eyes.
Nathan's the sort, mate, that if he saw a terror, if he saw a melee, right, he'd get involved. But I think as soon as anyone started swinging any punches, it's Scarpa, and he's quick. He'd get out of there. I don't think Nathan's hard. So I'm going Neil all day long.
The only way Jones wins this is if it goes to points. You know, if he can take some of that stages, he's going to get high scores off the judges. My feeling would be Alex Neil would get him into a corner and just land one. So I think it would be over kind of 8 or 9, you know, in favour of the Mill gaffer.
You just thought about it a lot. It's good. Yeah.
I just thought about it as you were speaking there, but I think I've nailed it.
Ideally, I'd chuck Michael Appleton in there and have a triple threat and see who's left standing at the end of that. I think that'd be truly fascinating.
I would take them both out.
Yeah, so again, he's got to land early, isn't he? Again,
he's got some guns on him, Appleton, though, hasn't he? I think he's a bigger unit.
All these celebrity boxing matches, I mean, we've got to get one for EFL managers. It has to happen. But let's move on. After successive defeats in League and Cup, Stoke got back to winning ways in the Tale of Two Cities against Birmingham in the Potteries. Bosun Lawal's first half header. Clark, it gave new meaning to the term. That was a loopy header.
It was the loopiest of loopy headers, wasn't it? Absolutely. And yeah, look, I think they deserve to win the game. Look, this was not a classic. This was a tight game. Probably we would have called it as a tight game ahead of kickoff. But look, I'll start with Birmingham. Slow start, lack of cohesion in the team at the moment. Obviously, so many new faces. Just not getting it right going forward.
No shots on target here, crikey.
Yeah, no shots on target. Damari Gray was moved to the left. So he's played in a few different positions. I haven't quite found a home for him yet. They had Tommy Doyle, who's a really good player, but they put him at the 10 role and sort of dropped Furuhashi and put Stansford up top. Is that the right place for him? I don't know. They don't want to break up the Iwata-Peck partnership particularly. He's got a lot of questions to answer, I think, Chris Davis, in terms of what is his best 11. He probably won't know it for a few more weeks, but that definitely was highlighted here. No shots on target. They lost the shot count 7-8. So it's a really tight game. And interestingly, 6 of Stoke's 8 efforts came from set pieces. So in open play, not loads happened. What did happen was Manhoef skinned Alex Cochrane at left back quite a few times early on. And he did it once, crossed in for Mubama, back flick. Amazing save from Ryan Allsop. But that's when they score from the corner with Bosun Lawal heading in from the subsequent corner. He had 4 shots, Lawal, which was easily the most on the pitch. And all of them came from corners. So you could see what was happening there. So yeah, not not loads to speak of in terms of Stoke. The wingers were good again. Thomas and Manhoof, you know, they are excellent. And the, probably the most notable thing was they gave Thomas Rigo his full debut, Slovakian international, in centre mid. I think we both talked about how maybe in centre mid they need to improve. Well, he came in. He pushed Baker into a nominal 10, but really out of possession, it was a 3. In midfield, and Rigo did really well. So I think, you know, he's made a good early impression there. So yeah, look, great start for Stoke, isn't it? Really, really good start. Yeah, they're not yet the full ticket in terms of, you know, adventure and excitement, but they're grinding out good results.
Yep, and that can come, of course. I wonder if Boston Lawal's parents were sailors. A bosun, of course, is a senior crew member responsible for the deck department's operations and maintenance on a boat or yacht.
So very quickly on Birmingham, had one shot on target in their last three games. Leicester, poor going forward, lost to Port Vale in the League Cup, which was shocking, and then this game. So, yeah, you can expect them to come out firing next time out of the weekend, that's for sure.
Been all at sea up front. In League One, Cardiff left it late to pinch a point at Stockport and stay top. There were first league wins of the season for Peterborough and Port Vale, and 10 Pilgrims beat 11 Hatters at Kenilworth Road. We're going to start with the Yorkshire Derby, though. Bradford boast bragging rights over Huddersfield after the Bantams beat the Terriers 3-1 at Valley Parade. Two goals in first half stoppage time took the game away from Lee Grant's side here. A bit of controversy, Sam. Bobby Poynton, according to the BBC, got two of them. According to him, he got all three. He reckons that he got a touch on No Phil's cross and he had the match ball tucked under his arm at the end of the game. You're a striker, so presumably you're going to side with him.
There was a time when if it got announced by your PA announcer, that was enough for me. Do you know what I mean? And I think a couple of times I've referenced this before on the podcast. There was one goal in particular, the County Grounds, never mind. And there was one I scored for Millwall very early in my career. That was never mind. But as soon as you got the big shout from the tannoy, I think the Vidi printer followed suit. I don't know how. Maybe someone just sat in the ground, or word got to the people elsewhere that it was so-and-so that had notched. So sorry, Bobby, with the modern world, you ain't getting that, my friend, because it clearly touches no one, I don't think. Funny enough, the Sonny Carey goal at Charlton, I mean, Lloyd Jones did quite well to get out of the way of it. I think he was maybe claiming it brushed him as well, which was a bit of a snide move from the centre half, trying to take Carey's first goal away. But no, I think this is going to be Nerville's goal. Yeah, he was one of many really good attacking players. I mean, the first place you have to focus on for Bradford is that front line. The two tens with Poynton and Sarsavic supporting Swan, 11 goals between them and host of assists as well. They're looking formidable. Andy Cook, the sight of him, the mere sight of him warming up, supposedly really infused the punters at Valley Parade who need no invitation at the moment. They are colossal at home. And
more than 24,000 in the stands for this. That's amazing.
It's incredible. Incredible. Obviously, it's a big game in that part of the world. So to blow them away in the fashion they did would have been incredible. The atmosphere would have been outstanding. 24 wins in 30 at home. And yeah, I spoke to him in the summer, and the way he's got them going there, that was the biggest issue. And this just flexed their muscles even more. And he made three changes from the game. I think Clarke saw them out.
Yeah, he had to make changes at the back for sure.
Yeah, Curtis Tilt and Joe Wright, who I think is injured, coming out. Touré played as part of the back three. Pennington coming in and Patterson, obviously experienced guys. And Patterson in particular had a really good season last time out. And despite not starting particularly well here, Joe Taylor did hit the bar. They obviously got blown away in that 15-minute period before half-time. Managed it really comfortably in the second half. And with Cook, with Swan, with some players to come back, Nerville, which could be one of the signings of the season at League One level, I wouldn't discount them doing something special this year, Bradford, because the power of that support and a pretty good League One squad now, they're going to be strong.
Yeah, and well done, Graham Alexander as well. Really bounced back, hasn't he, after those so-so spells at Salford, Motherwell and MK. All right, we've been plentiful in our praise for Doncaster in the early weeks of their return to League One, but they were given a shoo-in by Wigan on Saturday. They went down 3-0 at what, to my surprise, is now called the Brick Community Stadium. Donny goalkeeper, Clarkey, Tim Lowe to Tala, culpable for at least two of these goals, or am I being harsh?
Definitely for two. The other one is probably the punch, which wasn't the most powerful either. So they only had one shot on target, Bradford, at Donny last weekend, and that was a goal that Lotutala spilled. So he's had a horrible week. I don't know if he's under pressure for his place. He's on loan, isn't he, from Hull, and he was there last year as well. So the manager obviously likes him, but yeah, pretty poor. Really bad for the first one, and missing the cross. And I do think the goal, as much as Murray would be pleased with it, the curler from outside the box, it was ever so slow, I thought, to get down and to get across. So yeah, bad day at the office for Donny. Bigged them up last week, and yeah, I can't big them up this time around. So let's just praise Wigan, shall we? Matt Smith, FA Cup winner. Matt Smith, superb in central midfield, orchestrating things, got a good goal from that weak punch. 8 shots on target to 3. You know, they really did take it to them. It's a really good game, I think. You know, lots of aggression, loads of tackles flying in, lots of crosses, 10 corners each. It was quite end to end, but it was Wigan that had a better defence. I think the back three, Fox, Ameson and Sessegnon, defended really, really well, stood up, and then they scored some nice goals, courtesy in part for the Doncaster goalie. But on Wigan, I think we probably shouldn't sleep on them this season. Obviously, with Ryan Lowe there, you know they're going to be a bit more exciting. You know, they're probably going to be better. And some of the numbers are really impressive. They've got the highest expected goals in the division so far, and they've also created more big chances than anyone else, 23 of them, which is pretty good. You know, that's like more than 3 a game. So, and to put that into context, Donny, who are flying high at the top of the table or near the top, have created 10 big chances. So, you know, once they get their finishing right, Wigan could start to pick up a lot more good results like this one. So yeah, well done to Wigan. I think at home, they're going to be hard to beat, hard to contain this season, but on the basis of what happened at the weekend.
Yeah, and it's Ryan Lowe versus Steve Schumacher next week as the Athletics go to Bolton. In League Two, Swindon just about back on top after seeing off Harrogate. Gillingham hot on their heels after squeezing past Notts County. Salford, one of only two teams to earn an away win, the other of which we'll discuss now, is Barnet, who are indebted to their keeper, Kieran Slicker, who saved 2 penalties to help them to a 2-1 win at Crewe. I don't know, you don't get the match ball, do you, if you would have saved 3 penalties in this one? But either of you ever play with a goalkeeper who saved 2 pens in the same game?
That's a good question. I can't recall it happening. I mean, they wanted about another 5 penalties, didn't they, Crewe, as well? It's a carbon copy, wasn't it? The second one is moody. I think it was...
I'm liking your language today. It was an excellent use of the word snide earlier on. And then you've gone moody. You're on fire here, Sam.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, I mean, he's already obviously taken note of what his teammate's done, 15, 20 minutes previously or whatever, and just tried to get that little nick and flung himself to the deck. I thought that one was harsh. You're always a little bit sick if you concede one of those. So to concede 2, yeah, would have been punching the gut. I thought the first save was a great save. I mean, the second one with the foot, it wasn't the best penalty, but he really launched himself to keep the first one out. Sanders, I think, and then Josh March with the second one. So, yeah, huge credit to him in a position that obviously since the start of the season, I think it's been really problematic for Barnet Wall early part, because they had that calamity in the opening cup game. And then Owen Evans, I don't think, lasted much longer. So, yeah, Slicker on loan from Ipswich. Looks like he will be the man for Dean Brennan moving forward. And yeah, I suppose just contrasting 3 wins away from home for Barnet. We know they play good football. Are they suffering a little bit with teams that are countering on them at home and, you know, allowing them to have the ball and then exposing maybe a few gaps and a few frailties there? But they'll have to, you know, arrest that, because that's probably not sustainable. But to win 3 away wins on the bounce is some going. First goal for Unlove, not that one, but a lot of the guys who did the business for them last year in the National League getting an opportunity here at Crewe, and a really good result against a Crewe side who have stumbled all of a sudden into a bit of difficulty after a bright start to the season.
Good start for Dean Brennan, isn't it, Clarkie? What, 3 wins in their last 5 games in the league, only 1 defeat in that time. There's a reason why he was so highly rated coming into the league, I guess. He should.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And just that, just going back to that decision he's made with the goalie, Evans, who was on the bench at the weekend. It was a goalie he signed. He worked hard to sign. He was at pains to remind everybody how difficult Evans made those negotiations, wasn't he? And binned him off early on in the season. That's strong management. isn't it? It's like, yeah, I can get someone on loan that I think is actually better than you. And Slicker did well. This game is a classic. Don't just look at the stats game. Before I watched the extended highlights of this one, I thought, oh, this looked quite even. Both had 11 shots, both had 4 on target, even possession. And then you watch the highlights and it's like, wow, it's a little bit of a robbery, really, with Barnett, with the penalties. And not just that. I think I counted at least 3 absolute worldy blocks or tackles inside the box as well from Barnett players, which showed amazing resilience, didn't it? So they would have been buzzing. I think guaranteed, Sam, beers on the bus on the way home, surely, I think. Because it's that kind of win, isn't it? Where you really had to sort of roll up your sleeves. Didn't look like you were going to get it. And then you kind of steal it at the end. Yeah, I mean, if that was Southend United back in the day, I think 5 or 6 of the lads probably fall off the bus, obliterated after making that journey back from Crewe.
I have been on a stag do with Dean Brennan many years ago, so I wouldn't like to spread vicious rumours. And we were much younger then, so it wouldn't be fair for me to comment. But I always say they're the ones, aren't they? Late winners. I know it wasn't the latest of winning goals, but when you've had to weather a storm and your goalkeeper's produced and you probably should be going south with nothing to show for it, that's the times and in the dressing room that I do miss.
Well done, Barnett. That's where we're going to leave our weekend review. Next, we're going to have a look ahead to some of the upcoming action. And Friday night at the Riverside, Championship leaders Middlesbrough play the role of host to West Bromwich Albion's guest. Clarkey Borough won both their home league games so far by 1-0. I mean, you're getting Sheffield United and Swansea, so not exactly hammering big name opposition, I guess. But even with that little dig from me, you can't help being impressed with how Rob Edwards has hit the ground running, because it's not like he left his last job in particularly good form from a managerial perspective.
Yeah, he's winning friends, isn't he? He's definitely winning friends, Rob Edwards. It's there was a good video, actually. I don't know if you saw it, of Craig Hignett presenting sort of the legacy numbers, like a certificate to the new players at Middlesbrough. And Hignett Rob Edwards made a little speech, and Hignett did, about what the club means. And it's just little things like that that do impress me from managers. He's just trying to get the players to feel the club, feel what it means to wear the badge. And yeah, at the moment, they're showing lots of resilience, because I don't think they're playing amazingly. I know that they're riding really high. They're still unbeaten. I think there's a bit more to come. This one will feel brilliant for them because they get it late. They snatch it late from a big scramble. But I think probably in terms of Edwards, and you brought him up, is the subs. He keeps bringing people on and they keep sort of helping the team. In this match, it was David Strelec at half-time. I think Sven Nipan came off the bench and did well as well. So, yeah, he's reading the game, making the right changes, and they're getting results. I think they'll have to attack better to break down West Brom. Sam's going to talk about them. But, yeah, West Brom, even though they got beat at the weekend, they're not going to give you many chances. So they might have to show a bit more imagination at the weekend, Middlesbrough. But there's something brewing there, isn't there? Definitely. He's a good man manager. He's got that togetherness fairly early on, and that's carrying them at the moment. But I being honest, I think to stay in the top area, they're going to need a bit more than resilience and togetherness. They're going to need a bit more quality, particularly going forward. So let's see if they can produce it against West Brom.
Well, it's nearly 6 years since West Brom won at the Riverside Stadium. Another new manager who's made an impressive start, if slightly tempered by that defeat to Derby at the weekend, Sam. They have looked good away from home, though, so this should be a close one. Wins at Stoke and Wrexham already for the Baggies.
Yeah, disappointing result for them at the weekend. I think I said it after the Stoke game, you know, this is a better defensive team than it is an attacking team at the moment. And I see that continuing here at Middlesbrough. I think it'll be a low scoring game. I think it's a low scoring draw, or maybe Middlesbrough nick it. I think they've got a centre-half playing right back. They've got Callum Stiles playing left back. I suppose having fellows taken from them at the last knock-ins of the transfer window is affecting them. And I just think that there's a little bit of a lack of creation. Malumbo did hit the bar, had 1 or 2 chances, so the outcome could have been different against Derby. But I think Ryan Mason's going to have to look at that setup You know, how do they improve their attacking output? Is it getting Madger in the team as well? Is it sacrificing one of those holding midfield players for a little bit more technical ability going forward? I see that the biggest issue. They've obviously reinforced, well, they've changed the back line. They've improved the back line. They've taken the average age down of the squad, which is great business. And I really like the look of them defensively. It's just how they're going to start causing teams more problems. Hecabo yet to get off and running in the championship. And I spoke about that last week, about how long does he have a grace period without notching. I would suggest if he doesn't get off the mark, you know, this weekend, then it's probably Madger in for him, or try and get him alongside so they can be a little bit more productive.
All right, so that's Friday night. Elsewhere in the championship, amazing how often Swindon Town legend Sam Parkin has to talk about Oxford. We'll oblige him again here as we look ahead to their game with Bristol City. Let's start with the Oppo, Clarkey, because I think they're the story really here, aren't they? 3-0 win at Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday, and it can't just be me eating my Gerhard Struber-related words.
No, I think we were all a bit sceptical, weren't we, that he was the answer to Liam Manning's departure, but he couldn't have got off to a better start. Like, they're third in the table, Bristol City. They're unbeaten. And they went to Hillsborough and they scored them, really. I mean, easy win. Got up nice and early and saw it out without any problems at all. No, I don't think they faced any shots on target from the Owls. So, yeah, it's going great. I think that obviously they're pressing well. That's a big thing that he's brought in. So they're defending from the front very nicely. The front three are really good. He seems to have sort of settled on them. Emil Reese, the big target man. Scott Twine, your free kick maestro and little playmaker. And he's Mamiti, who's got that bit of magic. He can carry the ball and make things happen. And those three are kind of doing the biz, aren't they? So, yeah, it's excellent. And they're working really hard for Struber as well. I saw Coventry, the only team that won the ball more inside the final third than Bristol City. So
only team that have scored more goals than them as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's working. The front three are doing the business with the ball, but they're also grafting, as are the rest of the team. So, yeah, it couldn't have been a better start for Gerhard Struber. And then the goalie has also given the team a bit of confidence. That was a bit of an issue before. They've got a lad on loan from Manchester United, haven't they? Radek Vitek. And he looks excellent. He looks like probably better than Bayern Deer and maybe a couple of the guys at Old Trafford already. But he, you know, he's big. He's got the best save ratio in the championship so far this season, Vitek. So, yeah, he's given them a bit more assurance at the back. For me, I just look at Bristol City. I think, yeah, that's got a nice balance to it, that team. Everyone playing in the kind of positions that you'd expect them to. So, yeah, I'd fancy them to go to Oxford and win the way that they're playing.
Oxford have picked up a couple of decent results, though, Sam. 2-2 against Leicester at the weekend to follow a 2-2 against Coventry as well. I'm trying to think of positives for them, given they haven't won their game in the league yet this season. And I guess it's Will Lankshear on loan from Spurs. 3 goals in his last 4 games, but another tough assignment for them here.
Yeah, I think, obviously, disappointment that they didn't put the Leicester game to bed because they're playing against 10 for so long. But I think there was loads of positives in the first half. Lancashire and Phillips definitely played a bit more central. Phillips was a real threat until he had to go off, and then they lost their way a little bit as an attacking force. But a little bit of a new team, played a back four first time, I think, this season as well. So it had a look at something slightly different during the international break. Ben Davis, I think I touched on him previously as well. Great at Birmingham last year. He was quite impressive in this game at centre-half at the weekend, against Leicester. So I think you just have to be a little bit patient. Of course, the lack of clean sheets is unlike Gary Rowett, and he'll want to get that first one under his belt as soon as possible. But yeah, some encouraging performances for new players. Brian De Keersmacher in midfield, very, very good in his last couple of games. Krasdev off the left-hand side. So we're talking about, you know, a new side that Gary Rowett's put together for this season. And I'm sure the assignment won't be just to stay in the division by hook or crook, you know, nicking games at home. They'll want to evolve a little bit this season. And the type of recruitment shows that. I think they've got, you know, aspirations probably to be a bit more front-footed. But yeah, he's got to stop them leaking goals. I would imagine that first win's around the corner and Oxford to be competitive this season. Whether it comes this weekend, I doubt. You'd have to make Bristol City favourites right now. But I think Oxford under Rowett are in a pretty good place.
All right, in League One, we're looking at Plymouth against Peterborough, two teams coming into this one off the back of morale-boosting weekend wins. Tom's team, Sam, they've earned impressive back-to-back victories now, Stockport and Luton. That's going to buy him some time after those four straight defeats at the start of the season.
Well, I don't like complimenting Clarkie at the best of times, but I think he got a bet come up on one of his rival podcasts the other day. So if he wants over 2.5s ahead of this weekend, he can have Plymouth Argyle against Peterborough United.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's the two worst.
All day long.
I think it's the two worst defences. Plymouth conceded 17. Peterborough 15 off the top of my head. So should be some goals at home park. Obviously 3-2 victory for them at Luton. Patched up defensively, which I think is adding to the issues. To continue on from my previous theme, talking about Oxford, this is very much a new side at Argyle, and they're missing Pleguezuelo, Such, two centre-halves who get in their back three. So I think Alex Mitchell on loan from Charlton's kind of holding them together in that regard. Got some players that are a bit short of minutes playing alongside him. Thankfully, they've added some real quality, I think, in the centre of the pitch, in Ibrahim, who scored three in his last two games now. The first, a beauty, Kenilworth Road, the second, cannoned off his backside or something for the winner. And Talai up top provided a great assist and scored in his previous encounter. And they've beaten some good sides, you know, recently. Beaten Blackpool, beaten Stockport, won at Luton. I think three wins out of the last four against all teams we would have had top eight, certainly, pre-season. So, yeah, if they can become a little bit harder to score against, then I could see Argyle climbing the table and getting better as the season goes on. So, yeah, I fancy them strongly here against Posh, despite them winning their first game. I think probably both teams to find the net. Argyle maybe to shade it.
Yeah, massive win that for Darren Ferguson at the weekend, wasn't it, Clark? If he wasn't careful, he might have got the sacked and been replaced by Darren Ferguson.
It's only a matter of time, isn't it? He'll get the bullet at some point this season and come back next year or the year after. Nailed on. I couldn't agree more with Sam, really. I think you'd have to fancy Plymouth here, but there will be goals, I'm sure of that. But yeah, it was a good win. It was a sort of needs must. It was a bit needs must. He's gone back five. So I don't think he really wants to do Darren Ferguson. They got over the line against a Wickham team that are struggling. Talk about managers that are on the edge. The guy at Wickham must be...
Dodds on to be the next one to go, you might say.
Must be close. Dodds on, yeah, I like it. And it must be really annoying for like the likes of Kean Hayes and Lisby, who are quite exciting wingers, players that the fans really like at Peterborough, but because they're playing wing-backs at the moment, or they did at the weekend, they can't really get in the team. It was good to see sort of a new front two of Harry Leonard and Jimmy J. Morgan. Jimmy J. Morgan started really brightly. He's buzzing, he's here, there and everywhere, and he's got himself a couple of goals. Leonard as well, I thought, you know, he scored some nice goals at Blackburn before falling out of favour. So I think they might have got a good striker there. It just hasn't happened for Lindgren, who apparently cost a million. Which I can't quite believe. I'm not sure really what he's about, Lindgren. Fans don't like him, that's for sure. But yeah, look, it was much better with the ball. I just think that they've got so many young, kind of lightweight defensive players. Peterborough. Yeah, I think Plymouth score 2, 3, or 4 in this game. I really do. So yeah, I think they're up against it, Posh.
Sounds like it could be another good day for Plymouth then. In League Two, Salford and Swindon, very much two of our muses in this division. So when they go head to head, we are obligated to preview it. Here's one that you'll like, Sam. It comes from Opta Joe. With 18 points from their opening 8 League Two games this season, Swindon have made their best start to an EFL campaign since 2006-07, a season during which they were promoted from the fourth tier. Ian Holloway, all of a sudden, looks like a genius. Anything else you got to tell me about Swindon? I mean, you'd expect them to beat Harrogate, but they're in great form.
In keeping with that stat, how many games did it take Swindon last season to get 18 points?
Ooh, let's say 11.
13.
21 games. Which I think accentuates the job that Ian Holloway's done, because it's not been the 8 games this start of this season, has it? It's been what he did the second half of last season. And it's a much changed side and squad as well. It's very different from the side that ended last season. Yeah, so six wins from eight is great going. The squad, I think, is stronger than it was at the end of last season. You look at the strength from the bench in contrast to probably what Harrogate that they beat at the weekend is a good example. Ollie Palmer, Billy Bowden, Knight LaBelle, who's on loan from Bristol City, coming on. You know, quality squad, in-depth players not getting in the 18 because of the depth and obviously that partnership of Glatzel and in particular Drinnen is flourishing. You've got a bit of guile and a bit of individual quality in Glatzel on the ball, and you've got the running power, the directness of Drinnen, who's had periods like this before, namely probably at Leyton Orient about 3 or 4 years ago where he was flying for a spell. And all of this is in the absence of Harry Smith, who everyone thought was going to be the talisman this year, was being linked with quite a big move to Scandinavia, out for the season with an injury. All of a sudden, Swindon have probably got to go a little bit shorter and playing to feet a little bit more rather than having the big man who's terrorises defences in League Two to hit. So now they're scoring goals for fun. As a Salford, they're creating goals for fun. They're creating chances for fun. They're the highest XG in the division, along with the highest scorers. Similar systems here. I think maybe going to match up. So we'll see who gets the better of it. And they will be tested, you know, defensively by a Salford team who I think we spoke of last week, and Udo, a couple of goals at the weekend, will be coming in full of confidence. So again, rather than cancelling each other out, probably see two attacking teams causing problems and getting goals rather than it being a stalemate.
Two teams showing the benefit of appointing experienced managers, perhaps, here, Adrian.
Yeah, good observation. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Robinson's not that old, is he? But he's mega experienced. I'm really chuffed for Holloway. So happy for him because I feel like he fell out of love a little bit with the game. And, you know, maybe he thought, am I yesterday's man? But he's had this opportunity and he's shown, hasn't he, that the value of experience. And he's come back with some new ideas. And yeah, they're playing a lovely brand of football, you know, attack first. And Salford are kind of doing that. I mean, they have to do it because they're not defending that well, Salford. They've got the third highest expected goals against, actually, Salford. So they've given up a lot of chances. So that will encourage Swindon. But as Sam said, they're creating loads as well. Udo is a great signing. I said that they'd sort of almost not won the window, but they were one of the big winners of the window. Udo, Stockton, Ben Woodburn, who come off the bench to score at the weekend. So, yeah, they've got lots of people that can score goals. They're probably the best pressing team in the division as well, Salford. They'll get after you. They'll be aggressive. And they'll try and outscore you. So, look, Robinson's mission, I think, is to put bums on seats. And he needs to attract bigger fan base to Salford. He's talked about it. And one way of doing it is winning. The other way is playing a brand of football that people want to come and watch. And I think they're starting to do that. So, yeah, I think it's a bit cracking game. I think it stinks of a Desmond, a little cheeky 2-2. I think both teams almost certainly score here. I can't imagine it being cagey.
That's a nice link into predictions then. We all managed to put some points on the board last week. I must apologise to Adrian for it. I wrote down his selection for Charlton Millwall incorrectly. He did say it was going to be 1-1, so he got 3 points for that. Sam, you also finished with 3 points last week for getting a perfect score for Fleetwood v Walsall. Weirdly, all the games we picked ended 1-1. I got 2 points myself, and I consider that a moral victory because you two, okay, you managed to predict the scoreline, but I got two results correct, and that is the real quiz. What's it done for the overall tallies then, Clarkey?
I'm still on for a Birmingham. Yeah, still on for it. And 22, Sam's on 10, and you are on 6. But look, there's a long way to go. We're still in September.
Why don't we add, if you get multiple results correct, you get a bonus point. So Matt would have had 3.
How much for that?
I'm actually okay with giving him 3 right now when you consider the threat.
So if you get all 3 results right, you get a bonus point.
I think 2's enough, isn't it?
What do you mean 2?
Well, Matt got 2 results right, did you not?
Yeah, I got the same result.
No.
Okay, 3. Okay, if you're happy with 3.
Full house. You get a bonus point for 4.
Yeah. If you get all 3 scores correct, you get a bonus 10 points. How's that? I mean, there's some people who say you should do production meetings where you're not actually recording the podcast. Professionalism has never been our forte, but these two are quite good at predicting what's going to happen in football matches. We're going to start with Portsmouth against poor old Sheffield Wednesday. What's going to happen here, Sam?
Oh, I'm glad you've come to me on this because it has got 2 zip written all over it, Pompey.
It's what Clark wanted to go for, judging by that head in hands reaction. So you're going to have to think on the fly here, Adrian.
It's exactly what I had written down, and I totally wanted that. So annoying. 3-0.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. There's a lot of flaws to this feature, a lot of flaws. I'll give Sheffield Wednesday a goal and say it's going to be 3-1 to Portsmouth. You go first on the next one then, Adrian, which is Wickham against Northampton.
Oof, yeah. I mean, Northampton are doing okay. They're grinding out some good results. Wickham, I think Mike Dodds is definitely on a sticky wicket. I've just changed it here. I've just changed my mind. You should never do that, but I'm going to. I was going to go Wickham 1, Northampton 0, but I've changed it to a goalless draw.
Bloody hell. Okay, Sam, while I think of another one, you tell me what you think it's going to be, please.
Oh, it's playing into my hands today. 1-1. Sorry, Matt.
Okay, I'm going to go for... All right, let's say this is going to be 0-1 to the Cobblers, and that'll be Dodds off for as a consequence. Barrow versus Crewe. Luckily me, I get to go first on this. This is going to be a 1-1 draw, I think. Sam?
I'm thinking the old cliche, Barrow difficult place to go, is not really ringing true at the moment. And having seen Crewe spurn 15 spot kicks, 2-1, a railway win.
Okay, 1-2 away victory. Adrian?
Yeah, me and Sam have been working together too long. I'm thinking exactly along the same lines. My spiel would have been almost word for word, but I've gone a bit bolder. Barrow 1, Crewe 3.
Wow, okay.
You can turn it around, yeah.
Just making sure I put that in correctly after last week's controversy. Okay, we're just about done for today. One more reminder, though, for the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply, 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. We shall finish with tweet of the week. It comes from Queen's Park Rangers Roman Burrell, who has 4 pictures of him in action for Rangers in their win at Wrexham, including celebrating, scoring. Actually, 2 of them are celebrating, 1 the act of scoring and 1 holding off an opponent. He says, first championship goal, tick emoji, plus 3 points and back-to-back wins, somebody blowing emoji, amazing support from travelling fans. Hope you enjoyed that one, ours. Blue circle emoji, white circle emoji. 1.4K likes coming up on this, including from Nick DeMarco KC. He's the lawyer who defended Man City and Forest, and he's also a QPR fan. He says, wonderful goal too, Roman. Congratulations. Hoping for many more. Sam, you've been full of the joys of spring because of this QPR win. Are you one of the 1.4K who's like this?
I'm not to this point, but I will be, and I'm going to cut up a little bit of slack, despite, again, Roman presenting a tweet which was very much the motivation for this feature, when you consider his journey and where he's come from in such a quick space of time. Listen, he's going to have to be consistent, and when he misses an open goal against Stoke at the weekend, I want him to tweet in the aftermath of the disappointment as well as the highs. But, God, that was funny watching him motor past Connor Cody, wasn't it? And then, I don't know, what was worse? Was it Cody's recovery run or was it the goalkeeper?
I think it was Cody's recovery run because...
What's the goal? The goalkeeper, what's he doing? Is he slipped? I mean, he finished from around about 8 yards out, I think, the goal scorer, Burrell. But, yeah, I think it exposed a bit of a lack of legs in the Wrexham rear guard. But Burrell and Kone to take Rangers to the Premier League.
His pinned tweet, Adrian, is about his move. To the QPR fans, excited to be here and ready to get to work. Look forward to contributing on the pitch and helping the team push forward. Let's get to it. Another blue circle, white circle emojis. But also, thank you, Arf and Raymond and Iconic Sports Agency, All One Work, for your tireless work in getting this over the line. You ever shout out your agent publicly?
No, I sacked them. yeah, my relationship with agents isn't amazing, I have to say. So, but I do applaud that from him. He's you know, the people behind the scenes that have helped make it happen recognized it. So yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. Yeah, I just think he could have, it could have been a little, I don't know, running emoji or smoke, you know, like, yeah, something to leave, you know, leaving. Obviously, you don't want to name check Cody. That's a bit mean. But just a little reference in there would have been quite funny. But he's gone too straight for my liking. So it's very much a 4 out of 10.
Okay, for clarity, what I described as the blowing emoji is apparently face exhaling. It means something to somebody somewhere, but not to me. Right, well done.
No Kermit drinking a brew, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. That's where we're going to leave things for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, tell a friend, give us a nice review. We would appreciate it very much. We should be back with another one for you next week. For now, though, from Adrian, from Sam, and from me, it's goodbye.